T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for Triad Today, a weekly community affairs program on 98.7 Simon. I'm Charlie, your host. As our parents and loved ones age, we start to pay attention to signs of memory loss. Is it simple forgetfulness or something more serious? Most of us eventually notice some slowed thinking and occasional problems with remembering certain things. However, serious memory loss, confusion, and other major changes in the way our minds work may be a sign that brain cells are failing. Over 6 million people in the United States are living with Alzheimer's disease, and more than 11 million family members and friends are caring for someone with Alzheimer's. November is National Alzheimer's Disease Awareness Month, and this morning I'm joined by Karen Owens, Education and Family Services Manager, and Dr. Cheryl Greenberg, Volunteer Community Educator of the Alzheimer's Association. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Let's start with the basics. What is Alzheimer's and how does it affect the body?
So that is a great question. Alzheimer's disease, it is a progressive brain disease. And so with that, we do see changes as the disease progresses. And unfortunately, it is a fatal disease because it eventually damages the neurons in the brain that control the basic functions.
Are Alzheimer's and dementia the same thing, or what is the difference?
That is another great question, and one we get quite often. So when we think about the word dementia is a word that we use to describe the set of symptoms where somebody is experiencing cognitive decline severe enough to interfere in their daily functioning. So that is a word that we use to describe all the different types of dementia. So it's an umbrella term, if you will. And Alzheimer's disease is just one type of dementia. It does account for 60 to 80% of the cases, so it is the most common type of dementia. But it is just one type of dementia among many others.
Okay. Well, you know, it's expected that as we age, we might become forgetful or a little slower with recall. What is normal aging, and when should we start to become concerned that it's something more?
So it is normal, of course, for our brain to age. Just like the rest of our body, it is aging as well. And so we might see some changes in our brain as it ages. So we might forget, for example, you know, a name or appointment every now and then, but we remember it later. For somebody that's experiencing memory loss related to Alzheimer's disease or some other type of dementia, if they are not able to recall that information in the present, rarely are they able to recall it later. So that's much different than the changes we see associated with normal aging of our brain.
Well, a lot of times it takes somebody else to notice that your memory issues might be cause for concern. As friends or family members, what are some of the signs that we should be aware of?
That's good information for all of us to know, too, because sometimes we don't always notice everything or changes about ourselves. So just a few of the warning signs would be memory loss. Again, that disrupts a person's daily life, their daily functioning. So I do want to mention, you know, if somebody, for example, has being good with names has never been their strong suit, that might not be a change. So it's change from normal. What a person's normal is. So memory loss that disrupts a person's daily life, that's one of the most common signs of Alzheimer's disease, is forgetting recently learned information, so new information. You may see somebody start to ask the same question over and over again or start to rely a lot more on memory aids such as reminders, notes, electronic devices, things like that. Another change that we might see is challenges in planning or solving problems. So some people living with dementia may experience changes in their ability to develop or follow a plan or work with numbers. You may see somebody start to have challenges in keeping track of like their monthly bills and things like that. And then another can be difficulty completing familiar tasks. So that could be driving to a grocery store they've been going to for 30 years. Or let's say they've been playing a card game for years and now they're starting to have difficulty remembering the rules of that game. Or it could even be maybe they have been a baker for years and used the same recipe for 30 years and now they're starting to have difficulty navigating and recalling that recipe. So those are just a couple of the 10 warning signs that might indicate a concern and need for further evaluation.
And this can lead to a lot of like confusion and frustration, correct?
It can. Confusion can be commonly seen with Alzheimer's disease and other types of dementia because, you know, a person's experiencing changes and it can be multiple changes at the same time. And so what is their normal environment is changing and how they process that environment is changing too because of the disease process.
I'm speaking with Karen Owens and Dr. Cheryl Greenberg of the Alzheimer's Association. Karen, Alzheimer's has been described as the long goodbye. Why is that?
Well, I mean, I think that certainly can, that perspective can be different from person to person. I know for me, you know, it's with my grandmother, I saw multiple changes over the course of time. And so things just were different. So that recall was different. You know, being able to recall information was different over time. And so you're constantly seeing your loved one change as the disease progresses. And unfortunately, because of the disease and the progression of it, you do see their abilities change and their ability to do things that normally would have been easy for them start to decline.
And am I correct in saying that this is a fatal disease, but for a lot of patients, it takes a long time. Like you start with little bitty things that you start noticing that things are going wrong, but the decline is usually, I don't know if sometimes it's quickly, but it seems like in my experience that it seems to spread out over a bit of time.
It certainly can. The average life expectancy is 4 to 8 years, but we know individuals can live 20 years with Alzheimer's disease. So for some, it can certainly be a much longer and slower progression than others.
Although Alzheimer's is more closely associated with elderly patients, it's not strictly a disease that affects those over 65. People younger than that have been diagnosed, correct?
Yes, there's approximately 200,000 Americans under the age of 65 that have younger onset Alzheimer's disease.
Alzheimer's is a disease that, as it progresses, it causes the patient to require more and more assistance. This responsibility is usually taken on by friends or family members. In the U.S., it's estimated that over 11 million people are caring for someone with Alzheimer's. Can you tell us a little bit of what that responsibility looks like?
Well, that responsibility certainly can vary from family to family and caregiver to caregiver. It really just depends on, you know, the individual and their support system. But that could be someone living a distance away or what we call a long-distance caregiver that is maybe helping manage a person's finances, paying bills for that individual, constantly checking in with that individual, or it could be someone living with the individual and helping them with those day-to-day tasks like getting dressed, going to the restroom, bathing. So it certainly can vary from person to person, family to family, and in regards to where a person is in the progression of the disease. You know, earlier on in the disease process, individuals don't require as much assistance, but as the disease progresses, individuals eventually require 24-hour care and require assistance with those day-to-day tasks like brushing your teeth, going to the restroom, those type of things.
In November, we're also recognizing National Caregivers Month. These are the people that take on the huge responsibility, and it can become pretty all-encompassing. They rarely get breaks or relief. If we know someone who is caring for a loved one living with Alzheimer's, what are some of the ways that we can help them?
That is a wonderful question, because caregivers, you know, this is one of those things that it's really tough to do alone. And I'll certainly defer to Cheryl since she has been a caregiver. But, you know, some ways to help them could be, for example, if you're going to the grocery store, asking what can you pick up for them while you're there, or, you know, bringing a meal. Or it could even be, you know, offering the caregiver some reprieve. So making a standing appointment to give that caregiver a break to go do some things for themselves so that they can provide some self-care. Or even, for that matter, being there and staying with their loved one so they could take a nap if they need to. Whatever that looks like for that caregiver. You know, checking in with them can be another great opportunity and resource for a caregiver, you know, just checking in to see how things are going, stopping by for a visit, something like that can be helpful. And again, I'll defer to Cheryl. She may have some other insight on that, being that she has been a caregiver in the past.
Yes. Dr. Cheryl Greenberg has a doctorate in educational gerontology and memory changes in older adults. She's worked with adults of all ages, presenting workshops on healthy aging, memory improvement, and age-related dementias, and uses her knowledge to volunteer with the Alzheimer's Association to help educate people on the disease. Dr. Greenberg also has personal experience with Alzheimer's, as her own mother was diagnosed with the disease. Will you share with us her story?
Oh, yes. It's a happy and a sad story, right? So my mother lived for 90 years in Philadelphia. She was born there, she stayed there, and then for some reason, in January of her 90th birthday, she decided to come live near me in Greensboro. When she was perfectly capable of making that decision. You know, she was alert, but she was forgetting some things. And she has a family history. She had a family history of Alzheimer's disease. So that was a concern. It was a sign that we were looking at. She came here. She lived for 2.5 years in independent living. She was 2 miles from my house. We had a lovely, lovely time. But, you know, little by little, she was forgetting pretty important things, like she had a terrible struggle 1 year writing out holiday cards. It just took her hours. And then the next thing was that she didn't know what to do with the remote control. I mean, it just didn't work. It was broken all the time, but it really wasn't. And then we played hide and seek with her hearing aids a lot. She stopped remembering how to keep track of them. And finally, towards the end of her journey living independently, she didn't remember how to dress appropriately for the weather and how to take her medication and so forth. She had an unusual course of Alzheimer's disease because typically, more commonly, we see a fairly gradual progression of the disease. But sometimes there are big bumps, and she had a big bump where she went from okay being by herself to actually just having a crisis where she couldn't remember anything. And she ended up in the hospital, and from there she went to live in a memory care community. And from then, it was just that progressive change that Karen's talked about.
Did your educational and professional background help prepare you for what you'd be facing, or were there unexpected issues along the way?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've often heard that doctors shouldn't treat their own children, and fathers shouldn't coach their own children in T-ball, because we don't maintain objectivity when it's our own, right? When it's our loved one. So I had lots of information that really helped me help my mother. But there were times when I just simply couldn't see the signs. I had to have her family practitioner sit me down and say, you know, really, Cheryl, you're not seeing all the signs here. She's further along than you're thinking. It was my mother. I didn't want to see it, right?
Absolutely. What advice do you have for people taking on that caregiver role for a person living with Alzheimer's, and how can others support them?
Karen has already made some really good points, but I want to really emphasize that we need a community to help us provide care. As much as possible, I recommend that people talk to other people. You know, folks are shy about Alzheimer's, they're uncomfortable, they don't know what to say. If someone had a heart attack, they know exactly what to do. But Alzheimer's is still frightening to the community at large. So I recommend that we as caregivers start the conversation. We say to our friends, I really need to talk about this. I really need to be able to vent and to ask questions and have somebody who goes through this journey with me a little. I would develop a team. I'd make sure we had a number of people who we knew in our families or among our friends or extended community who could help us, and then I would ask for specific things. If somebody says, let me know how I can help you, that's vague. It is not what you need to be thinking about when you're providing care. So be very specific. I need somebody to come stay at my house for 2 hours so that I can go shopping for groceries, or so I can get my walk in and clear my head. And honestly, a very important thing, and Alzheimer's Association does this very well, is to join a caregiver support group. The people in the caregiver support group understand what you're going through, can give you good advice, can listen well, and you can feel like you're helping them at the same time.
Yes, I want to reiterate something that you mentioned about, you know, we all think we're helping by saying, oh, let me know what I can do to help. But we don't like to ask others for help, first of all. And there's sometimes when you're in it, you're so overwhelmed with everything. You're like, I don't even know what you can do to help me. So be specific in your offers to help. Say, you know, hey, Wednesday afternoon, I have a few free hours. Can I come over and sit with your mom in case you need to go do something? Or like you said earlier, you know, bring meals. Offer to pick some things up at the store while you're there. Be real specific in your offer to help, because you know, just saying, let me know what I can do, usually gets no results.
Right. You know, we're coming close to a bunch of holidays, and that creates an enormous amount of concern and stress. Holidays just do, because we want to have presents and decorations and food. One of the things we can do as friends of caregivers is to say, how about if this year we celebrate at my house? Or how about if this year I prepare a meal? Or how about if we just don't do quite so much this year. We just enjoy being together. And that's a very specific kind of assistance you can give to somebody who is providing care.
Mm-hmm. I read that there was recently a breakthrough medication approved by the FDA for the treatment of Alzheimer's. What can you tell me about that?
Well, Charlie, that is a great question. We celebrated in June the FDA's accelerated approval of aducanumab, or Aduhelm. So this treatment is the first treatment approved for Alzheimer's disease since 2003, and it's the first to address the underlying biology of Alzheimer's disease, treating the progression of Alzheimer's, not just the symptoms. And that's much different, because the medications we had before just helped to manage the symptoms. So this is certainly in a time of unprecedented promise in the quest in Alzheimer's disease.
Is this the first drug that's been approved that helps to slow the progression?
So this is the first medication that has been approved that actually addresses the underlying biology of Alzheimer's disease. So it is the first of its kind.
And I did read that once one is approved, it sort of like puts a spark underneath it and helps to get other medications to be worked on and researched and put into the approval process as well.
Yes, it certainly can. I mean, history has shown us that approvals of the first drug in a new category typically invigorates the field and increases investments in new treatments and just generates greater innovation. So certainly a great opportunity for that.
Are there any things that we can do to help prevent Alzheimer's in the first place? Do we know what causes it, or any things that we can do?
So we don't yet have a way to prevent the disease. But we do know of some things that are just overall good for our overall brain's health. So a few things like breaking a sweat. They say engaging in regular cardiovascular exercise that elevates our heart rate can certainly be helpful brain's health. You know, hitting the books, so learning something new, formal education can be helpful because that's cognitive activity that's helping to stimulate the brain. That old adage, if you don't use it, you lose it, applies in many areas. So we want to do things that keep our brain cognitively active as well. And we also know a healthy diet is also good for our overall brain health as well. So far, the research has indicated the Mediterranean diet or the DASH diet, and that stands for dietary approaches to stop hypertension, may contribute to risk reduction.
And something as simple as playing a word game on your phone or just things like that that just keep your mind going so that you're not just mindlessly staring off into space or staring at the television or whatever. Things like that, just anything that keeps your brain going, keeps you thinking.
Yes, definitely anything that keeps your mind, your brain active. You know, so that could be learning a new hobby, anything like that can really help to help stimulate that cognitive activity.
And if we or someone we love has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, are there ways to slow the progress of the disease?
So we don't yet have a way to absolutely slow the progression of the disease down, and we don't yet have a cure for the disease. So there's still more research to do in that area.
But I would think, as you know, whether it's before you've been diagnosed or after, this type of things that you mentioned would, if you haven't been doing them before, you should definitely take those up.
Yes, it's never too late to start. You know, if you're not doing any of those things now, I would encourage folks to start sooner rather than later.
The Alzheimer's Association has some educational programs and help for caregivers coming up. Will you share those with us, please?
Yes, so we've got a number of education programs coming up in November, and individuals can find that information on our website, which is alz.org/North Carolina, and individuals can also call our helpline number, which is available 24 hours a day, to find out about those education programs as well, and that number is 1-800-272-3900. But we have a variety of education programs coming up. We have a program on November 18th, which will be a virtual program, and that's called 10 Ways to Help a Family. So that's going to be a great opportunity and great program.
What are some final words that each of you would like to share regarding Alzheimer's disease? Karen, you can go first.
I would say, and certainly just echo what Cheryl said, reaching out for help, asking individuals for help, talking to folks, just starting the conversation, whether it's the individual that's experiencing changes or whether it is a loved one that's noticing changes in a family member or whomever it may be, just starting that conversation and reaching out for help and assistance, not just from family, from friends, but also from other community resources, because they can be very valuable in navigating this journey.
And Cheryl?
I would say that it's very important to recognize that being a caregiver for somebody who has Alzheimer's disease can be emotionally stressful, it's physically demanding, it's sometimes often financially demanding, and it's sad. It's sad to see somebody change and progress in this ultimately fatal disease. But there can be joy and in caring for somebody who is living with Alzheimer's disease. And so feeling appreciative of the time you get to spend together and noticing how much you're giving to that person can really be a gift in those later days.
Well, additional information on educational programs and other care and support resources can be found by visiting the Alzheimer's Association Western North Carolina chapter at alz.org/North Carolina or by calling the 24/7 helpline 800-272-3900. Support is out there, and you don't have to face Alzheimer's alone. Karen Owens, Education and Family Services Manager, and Dr. Cheryl Greenberg, Volunteer Community Educator of the Alzheimer's Association, thank you both so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
And if you have any questions about anything you hear on the program, please send an email to charley@987simon.com. That's Charley at 987simon.com. Thank you for listening to Triad Today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.